Dear children of the light, word of God for our meditation this morning comes from John chapter 9. What is your one must-see sight at the top of your bucket list? The one sight that will truly change your life forever. A question like that might send you traveling, at least in your mind, across the world to see sights like the Great Pyramids, or the Great Wall of China, the Grand Canyon. Those are wondrous sights that the world has to offer our eyes. But today we get to see the journey of a blind man from blindness to sight. And as we watch that journey and the people around him, we get to see that there really are two kinds of blindness and two kinds of sight. As this man takes this journey, we get to see him go through all of them. And at the end, we get to witness his one must-see sight. But it's not a sight that he sees with his eyes. So Jesus comes upon a man who was born blind. The disciples are with him, and they must have been somewhat familiar with this man because they seem to know that he had been born blind. So as they come upon this man, they see him not as an opportunity to show compassion to a man struggling. They see him as an opportunity to pass their judgment from a ways away. So they ask Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Surely it was either his own guilt or the guilt of his parents that brought upon him this infirmity. Surely that is what it must have been." Isn't it so easy for us to think that we see clearly like the disciples, when our vision is really full of blind spots? So we take a simple truth, like the truth that sin does have consequences, and we exaggerate it all out of proportion until this is what we're left with. Every sin has specific consequences in my life from God. So, if someone is experiencing suffering, it must be because they're not living right. Last year, when I blew out my knee playing basketball, it must have been because the day before I did something really bad. If a hurricane or a natural disaster strikes a country, it must be God blowing off his angry steam at them. If a disease breaks out in the world, it must be God's punishment against all the people who are not living right. These are just our blind attempts to see what God is really doing in this world. These are our attempts to see beyond the curtain of what we can really know and to see into the will of God. So Jesus takes this opportunity to teach his disciples. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. And how he turns our thinking up on its head. God does not use bad things in this world to punish us for our sin. He uses bad things and suffering in this world as a chance to display his work and his glory in our lives. How different a thought is that? The things we face are a chance for God to work in our lives. What an amazing thing the disciples are about to witness, and Jesus is setting them up for it all along. He says, "As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And what a sight they were in for, as the light of the world was about to display his light. Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and he put it on the man's eyes. Now, I checked WebMD. Mud and saliva are not medical cures for blindness, but that's the point. These are not medical remedies for this man. This is simply the power of Jesus working through sort of an arbitrary random command. Go and wash in the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed, and he came home seeing. Step one on this man's journey from blindness to sight, complete. He got to see with his own eyes for the first time in his entire life, having been born blind. And all because he got to meet Jesus on that day. But having his eyes opened wasn't his must-see sight yet. So how is the work of God met by him and all of those around? With total skepticism. They can't fathom that this could possibly be the same man who had been born blind. This must be just someone who looks like him. His long-lost twin now surfaced. This must have been some kind of hoax that this man was pretending all of his life to be blind, and now, miraculously, he's healed. How did the Pharisees react? With even more skepticism. How do they respond? Not with praise God for this amazing miracle and his grace to this man. No. They've got bigger fish to fry, and it's a man named Jesus. So what's their first response? This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. What they really mean is, this man is not from God, for he does not keep our rules. See, this work of God that he was doing to them was an egregious infraction against their code of 39 categories of forbidden working that they had appended to God's Sabbath law. So the Pharisees were constantly after Jesus about this work of God that he was doing, especially when he dared to do it on the Sabbath. They were kind of like a basketball crowd constantly heckling Jesus. You can't do that! And they're shouting at the light of the world who is raining down the miracles of the glory of God for them to see. So the ones who think that they know what the work of God is and when it should be done, when all the while it's being done right in front of their eyes, they're the ones who are the most dangerous of all. The blind who think that they can see. Finally, they do something that at least makes a bit of sense for the occasion. They ask the man, what have you to say about him? It was your eyes that he opened. You can tell they're really not too concerned with what the man actually says. They listen to him. He is a prophet. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. It's a pretty sensible conclusion for this man who had been born blind, considering everything that he had just experienced, being given his sight. And these statements are the thing that throw the Pharisees over the top in their fury. You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Let's take a step back from the story for a moment. Do one of those vision screenings. You know when you go to the doctor and you got to read all the letters? So here, as we have the light of the world displaying the works of God for everyone to see, who in this story is blind and who can see? The man born blind has now been given physical sight as a result of Jesus' miracle. Yet things in his heart are just a bit hazy yet. He's not quite out of the darkness. He's starting to piece it together. He can see that this man is from God, but he doesn't quite know who he is yet. And what about the Pharisees? Things are only getting darker. They're witnessing the light of the world shining right in front of them, and they are closing their eyes tighter and tighter in blindness and rejection. The fact is that light shines, and it either helps you see or it blinds you like the afternoon sun blazing through your windshield. So as these Pharisees are witnessing the light is only searing their eyes and their hearts shut in that rejection. The vision screening is in, totally blind, blinded by the light. So they come to the same conclusion that the disciples did before, that this man was so steeped in sin, that's why he was born blind, and therefore he's got no right to lecture them about anything to do with God. Pharisees had finally stumbled on at least one piece of truth. They were right that the man, he ultimately was steeped in sin at birth, but not the way that they were thinking. See, that blind man and the Pharisees and each and every one of us are steeped in sin at birth. The sin that we are born with, the sin that makes us enemies of God, born spiritually blind, without true fear of God or without faith in God. That's the way that we all come into this world. Yet the Pharisees thought that it was only this blind man who suffered from that blindness. That's the truth of it all for us. We come in spiritually blind, and in that blindness we would perish forever. There is no way that we, the spiritually blind mice that we were, could stumble upon the path to heaven. There's no way. So we must be given sight. How does Jesus give that blind man sight? When he heard that he had been thrown out, what does Jesus do? He went and he found him. See, this man's journey was not yet complete. Jesus had to bring him all the way from blindness to sight. This was the work that he spoke about long ago through the prophet Isaiah. This is what he said: I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things that I will do. I will not forsake them. So Jesus goes and finds this man to complete his journey, to bring him not only from blindness to sight, but out of darkness into light. So as he finds this man again, he asks him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The blind man says, "Who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus says, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." And the blind man said, "Lord, I believe." Finally, the blind man got to see the truly one, the must-see sight in all of life. He got to see the Son of Man, the Savior of the world, standing right before him. He got to behold the glory of the light of the world giving him light after a lifetime in darkness. This man got to see his must-see sight, not with his newly opened eyes, but with the eyes of his heart. The reason that Jesus was there that day, tracking down a blind man who had been healed, is the same reason that he comes to us today, tracking us down with his word to call us once again from blindness to sight, to see him and to see him as Savior. So as we gather here in this place and we come before and we confess the sins and blindness of our heart in the days gone by, Jesus comes to us with his word, and he stands before us with his servant, speaking through the mouth of Christ, and he offers to you a must-see sight of faith. He tells you your sins are forgiven in him. Jesus comes to us with his word and is truly present with us in his supper as he offers us his body and blood to give us visible proof that our sins have been forgiven. Jesus comes to us this very day to offer us the must-see sights of faith, of forgiveness, the sights that we see with our hearts. Jesus, in all of his glory as Savior. I don't think that that blind man knew what he was in for on that particular day. The journey from blindness to sight, a journey from darkness to light, I don't think he knew what was coming. But how did that journey end? When the blind man had finally seen his one must-see sight, he worshiped Jesus. That's the same thing that we gather to do time after time, week after week, midweek, Holy Week, and ever after. And even if we can't gather here to worship, we will find a way to gather around our Savior and worship him, because our hearts can never get enough of the must-see sight of Jesus as Savior. This is the believer's response to seeing Jesus in a heart of faith. This is our response to the amazing grace of God. And we gather before him and we burst into song for his amazing grace. I once was blind, but now I see. Amen.